this is where we ended up last time, 2 weeks ago, over in Colossians. You can stay in Ephesians if you'd like. Colossians 1, 26 and 27, this is kind of what we ended on. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? For all those years in the Old Testament, God had a chosen people. And he chose those people for a purpose. They fulfilled their purpose. Jesus Christ came through those chosen people, did what he did, died, rose again. But the revelation of that, of who Jesus is that it's for all. Jews, Gentiles, doesn't matter. It's for all. And I want us to know it's for all. No matter what we look like, no matter what we've done, Jesus Christ is for all. He is the good news. He is the gospel. It's about Jesus Christ and what he did. Because in Jesus Christ, we find the promises, the promise of the Holy Spirit, right? These promises of life, these promises of help, these promises of having a comfort, someone to lead us, someone to guide us, to show us things to come. We have all these promises, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. There is no question anymore of who he's for, what he's about. It's revealed in the Word of God. It's revealed in his new covenant that it's for all. Now, are all going to choose him? Unfortunately not. But we don't know who that all is. So I won't judge. I'm not going to tell somebody, it's not for you. I'm just going to share the Word of God. Right? We share the Word of God and we pray the Holy Spirit is there working and moving in them for them to receive. But there is no mystery about Jesus anymore. There is no mystery about God. If you've seen him, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? They were one. They're one with the Holy Spirit. There doesn't have to be a, it doesn't have to be a mystery. It doesn't have to be, oh Lord, who are you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And now, I believe, in our lives, we're his representation, right? Jesus isn't here with us. He's at the right hand of the Father, but he sent his Spirit to live in us, to help us, to lead us. He's given us his power. He's given us his authority. And for me, and probably for a lot of other people, I was just not doing anything with it. It was available. I didn't have to go through the things I went through. Yes, can God take those things and give me a testimony and turn them around for good? Yes, but I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to walk without him for all the years I did. I chose to. I can even go as far as to say I knew better. I was raised in the church. A Spirit-filled church, right? There was no mystery about who the Holy Spirit was. Like, I'm not going to lie, it was kind of weird in my mind. And that I think that was just kind of confusion for me, right? Just like this, I wasn't grasping it because I put a wall up as about what it was and who it was. I didn't have to live like that. I chose to live like that. And then the longer I lived like that, the more comfortable I got with that life. Right? It just was easy. It was easy to be super negative. It was easy to not do anything. It was just easy. Like, walking with God isn't easy. Like these last 7 years of my life or so have not been easy, but they've been great. Because it's not about ease, it's about just watching God work. Because in those hard times, in the fight, in the struggle, I know God is with me. I don't have to question that. Now there's times where I fall a little too long, and I got to pick myself back up, and I got to grab back onto these revelations. But he changes us to where when we're looking at him and when we're walking in relationship with him, in hindsight, it usually isn't that hard. Because he's with us. He's with us. The big difference for me was I was not choosing to utilize the God of everything. It's hard sometimes. I laugh at myself sometimes, like, what were you doing? Why? Right? We can all be deceived. Don't ever think you can't be deceived, because if you think you can't be deceived, you're setting yourself up for deception. But I do know that if we just stick with God, if we just seek after him, if we stop treating him like this untouchable thing and we go to him, right? Because we have access to him. If we stop keeping ourselves at a distance because we don't understand, I don't care if you don't understand, go to God. Let him bring that revelation. Let him bring that understanding, right? We don't have to fully understand for God to work in our lives. I don't get everything. Surprise. I don't have revelation of everything. I don't have the Bible memorized. I don't have all these things, but I know God is working in my life. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so God's with me. And it's no different for anyone in this room. Your role is just different than my role. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because we're one body. We're supposed to be in unity together. We're supposed to be helping each other grow in him. In him, because it's in him that all these things are brought forth. The goodness of God, the riches of God, his mercy, his love, his grace. Is there correction along the way? Sure. Because he wouldn't be a good God if he didn't correct me when I was wrong. But correction and condemnation are two different things. God doesn't work in condemnation, he works in correction. Because correction gets us back. Right? He's a just God. He's all these things. He changes lives. He gives direction. He gives meaning. He gives purpose. Why do I go anywhere else? Why would I go anywhere else? That's a good question. Great question. And that's why when I look out and I see people differently. I see people in need. I see people hurting, and there's a yearning to help. There's a yearning to help. There's a longing to help because people need help. People need Jesus. You want to change the landscape of an area? Start sharing the good news of the gospel. You want to change the landscape of a nation? Share the gospel. Change people's hearts. Change people's hearts, and then their minds will be changed. I can't change your mind. I bet you there's some things in there that, and there's things in my head. You're not going to, I don't care what you say. I don't care about your facts. You're not going to change my mind on certain subjects. Right? especially politics these days, they've become so volatile. Like, we can't even talk about things anymore, right? Because it's just, you're labeled the enemy now. Why can't we talk about things? But I submit, change people's hearts and people's minds will be changed. Right? Change people's hearts to Christ. And then as they are discipled and grow in the word, it's just the byproduct of relationship. It happens. But let's get to scripture. Back to Ephesians. Ephesians 3, starting verse 6. Not Colossians, Ephesians. So my point in all of this is, like, none of this has to be a mystery anymore. We can share truth with people. When we're out and about and we're in conversation, they may not agree with you, but it's okay to plant seeds, right? Not everybody we talk to is going to be converted right then and there, but we can certainly plant seeds about the goodness of God, about the goodness of Jesus Christ and what he did, about the power of the Holy Spirit, about something that there is something available to change people's lives. There is something that can draw you out of alcoholism. There is something that can draw you out of drug addiction. There is something that can draw you out of depression. There is something that can draw you out of lack of focus and lack of purpose for your life. There is something. We have them. Right? Jesus Christ. He saved us. He changed us. He's continuing to change us. He's continuing to shape and mold us. Because what he has is better. What he has is better. So, verse 6, Ephesians 3, verse 6. Paul speaking here. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So we're fellow heirs. There's no more separation. We are heirs of the Almighty God. And we get everything that comes along with being an heir. Right? Go through the New Testament. Go through the New Covenant. Don't avoid the Old Testament. I'm not saying that. But we got to know who we are in Christ. When we know who we are in Christ, the things of the Old Testament are revealed. Right? Because all through the Old Testament, there's Christ. Right? We don't avoid, we don't not focus on the Old Testament, but you better darn well sure know who you are in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, things get difficult because we waver. Well, is he that good? Or, you know, we got to know who he is. In our heart, know who he is. No, that's not God, because that's not one of his promises. No, that's not God. Depression was not God in my life. Depression was a lowercase God in my life, but it wasn't God in my life. I gave it room. I let it do what it wanted to do in me instead of letting the God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, change my life, change my thinking. Thank God it eventually happened, but partakers of the promises in Christ, partakers of the promise, we get to take of it. We get to be a part of it. That's who we are. And that's who all those people out here can be. He desires all. And I'm not going to pick and choose who that all is. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work. And we're just going to do what we're led to do and share where we're led to share and give a good word and do all those things. Partakers of the promises of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. So it wasn't Paul, had nothing to do with Paul. If you don't know Paul's story, Paul was persecuting Christians, and I'm pretty sure he had a role in probably killing many, many Christians. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He had all the qualifications. He was on his way up to do big things as a Pharisee. He knew what he was talking about. He knew the word. But he rejected Christ. And then he had a visitation, right? On the road, he had a visitation. And from that moment on, Paul's life was different. Because of who? Jesus Christ. Paul, why are you persecuting me? It was because of Jesus Christ that Paul's life changed. And anybody whose life has changed for the better, it's because of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. But it was the power, and there was, here, let's go back to that real quick, which was given to me by the power, by the working of his power. By the working of his power. It wasn't Paul's doing. It's not our doing. I don't have to do. I need to be available. I need to be hearing. I need to be hearing. I need to be listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say. And when he asks me to move, I move. When he asks me to speak, I speak. But it's not my own. It's not our own. Don't put the pressure of having to be your own. It doesn't have to be your own. It doesn't have to be your ideas. It doesn't have to be your skills. God's capable. Right? The gifts of the Spirit, they're available anytime it's necessary. But if I'm not doing anything, what's the point of the gifts of the Spirit? But it's, once again, it's not me having to do things. It's me walking in relationship. I don't want this to turn into a works thing because that is not what it is. It's me walking in relationship with God and that relationship manifesting into helping, manifesting into speaking a good word, manifesting into planting a seed, right? It's him through us. It's him through us that changes things. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So Paul talks about it a few times, how he's the least. When people speculate, you know, it's probably because of who he was before, how he persecuted Christians and how the way he did. Regardless of who Paul was in the past, look what God did with him. Right? Now, the things of Paul's past, his knowledge, right, of the word, because to be where he was, he had to know, right? I've heard somewhere, and they had to like memorize the first five books, the Septuagint. They had to memorize it. He knew things. God used it, right? But God used it. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't, his past didn't define him. His past didn't hold him back. Jesus Christ took him and projected him forward, right? To preach, bottom of verse 8 there, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Once again, we don't have to know everything. But it can be revealed, right? It can be revealed in this walk, unsearchable. The unsearchable riches. There's so much there, we just can't even fathom it. I don't know that we can understand everything. But if we're seeking, if we're walking in this relationship, what we need is given. What we need is given. And as we grow, more and more and more and more. You don't have to be powerless in this life. You don't have to walk in ignorance in this life. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us that searches the depths of God. It's available. I hope this is encouraging to the fact that it's available. It's there. He wants us to have it. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to walk this life out with him because he knows how good it can be. He knows. Maybe my situation right now doesn't seem good, but at least I have God. At least I have his wisdom to walk through it. At least I have his strength to walk through it. And when we get to the other side of it, praise God. Because I guarantee we're stronger than we were before. I guarantee we have more knowledge than we did before. I guarantee God is working in us more than he did before because we've given him the space to work. Amen. So to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that, verse 10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So that rulers and authorities, in the King James, it's principalities and powers. So that the church might make known his wisdom. Right? Because at the cross, at crucifixion, the enemy thought it was over. They had won. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can go to 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 8. Let's go up to verse 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers, King James says princes, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They had no idea what was coming. They saw death and they thought death was the victory. They had no idea what they were releasing into this world. They had no idea the power and authority that was going to be granted when he rose again. They had no idea. No idea. Because if they did, they wouldn't have done it. We have that wisdom now. And I believe we're supposed to rub it in the face of the enemy every chance we possibly get. You lost. You failed. We have the authority. We have the power of Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That's who we have. That's who we are. That's who you are. That's who each and every one of us are. Pretty awesome. Because if you go a little further, I'll read 8 again. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. I can just picture the enemy going, oh my God, what did we do? To me, that's pretty awesome. On the flip side of that, we can't imagine how much goodness. We can't imagine how much God truly loves us. We can't imagine how much is truly available to us. But I challenge us to dig in and find out. Because it's life-changing. It's life-changing. Who Jesus Christ is, what he's done, who the Holy Spirit is, and what his role in our life is life-changing. It's the power of the gospel. Knowing who he is the power. Right? Walking in relationship with him is the power. We don't have to walk around defeated. Once again, I didn't have to live the life I did. Thank God I'm living the life I'm living now. Young people, you don't have to experience sin, and you don't have to experience all the things of the world and then come back to God. You don't have to do it. I would say don't do it. That's just what I would say. Don't do it. Save yourself the heartache. Save yourself the trouble. Save yourself all those horrible things that are going to want to follow you the rest of your life. Many, many things have changed for me. Many, many things. But there's still things in my past that want to just claw themselves back. Thank God I can fight those things. Thank God I have something to fight those things with. But it sure would have been better if I just didn't have those memories. It sure would have been better if I just didn't do those things. It just would have been better. It sure would have been better if I didn't succumb to peer pressure. It sure would have been better if I wasn't trying to please people. It would have been much better if I was just walking in relationship and God being pleased with me. Right? It would have been better. And I don't know how many times people have said it, and you know, for some reason, we human beings just love to learn things the hard way. But I'm begging you, you don't have to. You don't have to. We don't have to. I don't have to fall. Oh, you're a preacher. Just think of all the people you'll crush and hurt, and just think of if you fall. I'm not gonna fall. Why do we have to fall? Why can't I just keep pressing into Christ? Right? Why can't I just keep growing in Him and then all these things of the world just fade? I can't always put in the words how drastically different my life is. And that's just the power of God. And most of you have heard most of my stories, but God is better. I don't know how else to say it sometimes. God is just better. We don't have to have the world, the things of the world, the sin of the world. We don't have to experience these kind of things to be a more knowledgeable person. Because I've heard it said, well, you know, how are you supposed to interact with people if you don't know what they're going through? How are you supposed to interact? Well, what do I have to be a drug addict to help a drug addict? Do I have to be an alcoholic to help an alcoholic? Or do I have to have the Holy Spirit who leads and guides, who searches the depths of God, who knows the answers that I need? Who knows far more about the people we're trying to help than I do? What if He revealed something that I had no idea about that really transformed this person's life? And I didn't have to become a drug addict to do it. Right? And we can use that side of it. And we can also use unforgiveness. Right? I didn't have to walk in unforgiveness my whole life and let unforgiveness ruin my life. And let unforgiveness cause stress and depression and anxiety in my life, right? I didn't have to walk in unforgiveness to help teach people about forgiveness. We have the Word, right? Once again, we have the Holy Spirit, who's far more capable than I am. We don't have to live like the world to be effective in the world. It's not necessary. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We don't have to be that way. We can walk and we can live in the power of the Almighty God. Fantastic. I'll take it. Will you lose some friends over it? Yep, I did. But a lot of those friends are still struggling, and you know, it hurts. It does hurt to see them living the lives they're living and doing the things they're doing. But hopefully, them knowing who I was and seeing how I've changed can maybe spark something in them. You know what? Maybe things can be different. Right? The people I've turned off from God. It's the one thing I don't like talking about, but I get to. The people that I turned off from following God, the people I turned off from pursuing God, I pray that there's a moment where they see something different. Hopefully in me. I pray that there's a moment that somebody can come into their lives and show who God truly is instead of just some lost person speaking out of ignorance. I pray that there's some reconciliation there someday. But now I'm not going to walk under that guilt. I'm not going to walk under that shame. It's been paid for. It was paid for. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to let that consume my mind. I don't have to let that tear me down. Because I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. God's not seeing what I did then. He's seeing who I am now. Praise God. Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise God. And it's all because of his goodness. It's all because of the gospel. It's all because of the power of the gospel. And it changes lives. It changes lives. So, back to verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit, where am I? I'm in the wrong place. Back to Ephesians 3:10. Sorry. Those were good verses. You could still continue to read those verses, by all means. Very good verses. But so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, this is Ephesians 3, verse 10, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that has realized in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Something's been given to us, and it's good. It's life-changing. It's powerful. We have access. We have boldness. You know, I often pray for boldness. It's in me. Am I going to utilize it? Am I going to stop saying, no, I don't want to do that? Am I going to stop shutting the Holy Spirit down and say, I don't want to say that? I don't want to talk to that person. Or am I going to let his boldness rise up in me? Am I going to let his wisdom rise up in me? And let him work in our lives. My whole point in these two sermons, it doesn't have to be a mystery. None of this has to be a mystery. Will we understand everything? No. But as we seek God, as we seek him, as we walk this out with him, what we need to know is revealed. And then we move on to the next, and what we need to know is revealed, and what we need to know is revealed, and what we need to know is revealed. We don't have to walk in ignorance of who God is. We don't have to think we're powerless to help others. We don't have to think we're powerless to affect other people's lives. We don't have to think we're powerless. We have something that changes things. We possess something that is essential for this world. Absolutely essential for this world. We have the antidote. We have the cure. Sin is a plague. Right? and it runs rampant in this world. But we have the antidote. For whatever reason, that made sense to me. We have something that can change that, that can cure that. Because it's curing my life. It's changing my life. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that your word is truth and that your word is life. And as we're digging in and as we're walking this out together, Father, I thank you that you're revealing what we need to know, what we need to see, because you know individually what each and every one of us needs for that next step, for that next part of life, for that next season, Father. You know what we need. And I just thank you that you are good. You are not holding anything back. You freely give, Father. Help us to change our hearts towards you to just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Father, I just thank you for the work that you're doing and that you're going to continue to do in this body, Lord. I just pray for safety as we go out this week, and I just pray for opportunities. Opportunities, Father, to just share your goodness with those around us. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.